Right. So, where's the PowerPoint presentation? Sorry? Microsoft PowerPoint, right. Right. Okay. So, right. Okay, so we've got new project requirements. So basically, we've got three things. We've got 40 minutes in which to for this meeting to discuss the various options. Three presentations.
We have a, I guess we have a presentation each, because I've got one.
Yeah,
I've got
one. I see. Right. That's nice to know. One from each of you. New project requirements. So do we want to do the presentation first, or do we want to I got a few or three things basically relating to the remote being only for TV. We discussed that last time, and in actual fact, that was pretty well what we came up with anyway. So in fact, it actually we maybe forestalled in a sense. We got teletext outdated. Did you get any information on that?
We didn't.
No.
Right,
I
and the corporate image was the final thing. So I got that in email form. Right, okay. So I guess if we go ahead with the three presentations. So we'll start with yourself on the basis that
I'll just I'll grab the wire at the back.
Sorry, yep. Oh.
What is it?
I'm not quite
I think
sure.
You've got to do Control F8.
Control doesn't seem to be quite working at the moment.
Shift F8. Give that a go.
Alt function F8. Again, not doing anything.
There's this usually a little thing in the top right for the.
Oh,
hang
yeah.
On. It's just
doing
coming
something.
On.
Oh, I got it. Sorry. I pressed about five times now. Okay, that's me. We're back to this.
How's it going?
Hope that should be it this time. Okay, I think we're there. That's good. Okay, I'm gonna be looking at the working design of the remote control. I've just got three sections. First is the research I made on the remote control itself, and then that involves the components required in it and the systems design of the actual remote. So, having researched the existing models within the market, I found my research off the internet. I've established what the components required for the remote control to function actually are, and then also the methods in which these components interact together for the remote to actually do what you wanted to do and how it connects with the television. The basic components are an energy source, which I guess in most existing models will be a battery supply, whether that'll be sort of two batteries, four batteries, it may vary. We then have the user interface, which is basically the buttons on the actual remote. The various functions you can do, so changing channel, channel up and down volume, things like that. There's also a chip inside the remote, which does all the computer type things. And then a sender, which is usually found an infrared device, which sends a signal to the actual television. And the last part is a receiver, which is important in the system, but it's not actually part of the remote itself, because that's obviously found in the television. Skip on. I'm going to have to actually draw on the board, because it was a little tricky on PowerPoint to get this working, so I'll just go through there. Do we have a cloth to wipe this down with? Or
there's the rubber on the right,
oh, I
see. I think.
Ah, okay.
Get rid of it's magic.
Okay, so we start off with a battery supply. Oh no, a power supply, which it's probably going to be the battery. We then have a particular button, which may be. I mean, that's obviously there's lots and lots of different buttons. But this is how the basic system works. That sends, after you press that, it sends a message to the chip, which then sends, it sort of interprets which button you've pressed and then sends the appropriate message to the sender. So that's the remote in itself, that's the components of the remote and how they work together. So this is the user interface. This is the chip itself, which then sends the sender, that's the infrared sender. And then on the separate thing we have on the television, have a receiver, and the sender sends a message to the receiver. Okay.
So the top bit's the power source, yes?
Yes, that's the power source.
Okay.
Just going on to personal preference, as I've said, the battery seems the best option for the actual remote, just because of the size. You don't want a cable attached to the remote, otherwise it's not really remote. And then the sender, an infrared, has been used quite successfully. If the battery's on reasonable power, they always seem to work fairly well. You don't have to be pointing directly at the television itself.
So the battery is in the sender.
Okay, and that's it for the moment.
Okay.
Okay. So, no more design.
Thank you. Mine's not quite as complicated as all that.
That's what we like to hear. Is it control functioning? Oh. There you
okay,
go.
So I'm going to talk a bit about the technical functions design. I'm Louisa, the user interface designer, as you know. So the basic method of this is to send a signal from the remote to the television set so that a desired function is performed. An example of the function could be to change the volume up or down. So obviously you need two different buttons for that. To change the channel, either by pressing the number that you want or by channel up or down. To switch the television on or off, maybe a standby button. Here are two example remotes. By the look of it, they both have kind of play and fast forward rewind functions. So I think they incorporate a kind of video function, which we won't have to worry about. But as you can see, the left remote is quite quite busy looking, quite complicated, whereas the right remote is much simpler. It looks much more user-friendly. So my personal preference would be the right remote. So it's got nice big buttons. It's got a very limited number of buttons. They're nice, kind of clearly labelled. I like the use of the kind of symbols, like the triangles and the squares and the arrows, as well as the words on the kind of play functions and all that. So it's very, very user-friendly. It's got a little splash of colour. Could maybe do with some more colour.
Well, there's a couple of things there. We have to remember that we have our own logo and colour scheme. So basically we'd have to be putting that on the product.
Do we get to see that?
I haven't as yet. No. But I got an email that basically said to make sure that whatever device we come up with at the end of the day had to incorporate the corporate colour and slogan. So I'm guessing that I noticed on the bottom there it's got what's that? APOGEE. That might be the corporate colour scheme. Although the only colour I can see in that is the red.
Would you be able to get rid of the X buttons here, the sort of circular section? Because that seems to be for a video as well. So we could dispense with that a little bit as well. And just get it down to just the numbers and the volume.
What
possibly.
Do you mean by the circular section? Like all of that bottom left?
Yeah, just this little bit. Is that? I think that's still a video remote part, so maybe we could get rid of that as well.
Yeah, and I don't really think you need nine numbers. I mean, how often do you use 7, 8, and 9? I think just 1 to 6 and then channel up and down should be enough.
Well, for general television purposes, obviously you have channels 1 to 5 at this point in time, and we'd have to have some room for future such channels.
As people are used to seeing that, so if we didn't have them, then they might think.
Well, possibly, but the other thing is that with the current expansion of channels and the process of taking place. Certainly the button up and down, but I mean, how many channels do we have to actual television channels do we have to prepare for? I would have thought that effectively it's forever expanding, and at the moment we've got, although you've got the 5 standard, you've got the BBC have come up with a further 6, and there's I don't know exactly how many channels there are on when you take into account Sky and various others. So I would have thought that we wouldn't, you know, rather than, okay, if the time of flicking from one to other, but presumably it'll take a second because you have to be able to stop it. Maybe you could have a fast forward on the channels that and then you could dispense with more. Otherwise, you'd want to get fairly quickly to the channel that you wanted.
Some remotes have kind of favourite options, where if you always flick from channel 1 to channel 6, if that's your favourite, you just like bypass 2 to 5.
Yeah, I suppose in a sense you could have, if you've got 100 channels, then if you had sort of an easy way of getting, rather than having go 1 to 100, you could go 1 to 10, 10 to 20, and then have a second button to get you to the actual channel you want, then that would cut down your time. Anyway.
But I think a lot of like cable and Sky and stuff, that would be tuned to one channel, and then you'd have another remote for all of those channels, like to get to 55 and the higher numbers.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Limit the number of buttons. User friendly.
But I suppose 9's not really excessive.
As soon as 9, you've got the like the last one, which makes the 10th, means you it's like a multiple scene, put them together, so you can make any number. So with that, would kind of bypass any problems with.
Well, that's true, yeah. You could get 50 by 5 and a 0 or whatever. Yeah. That makes sense.
Does that facilitate having all the numbers you could ever need?
Yeah.
It
does. Okay. So what was the circular thing that you were...
I think that's just for a video. So we wouldn't need any of that at all.
So we could get...
If it's just for TV, which is what it is at the moment.
So we get to how many buttons have we got? We've just got 10, 11, 12. We've got 14 that we need, I guess. Which isn't really too many. That'd be quite easy to make a user guide for a 14-button remote.
Well, we've got it's remote for TV only. Otherwise, project would become too complex, with which would endanger the time to market. Kay. Was one of the considerations. I don't know. Did you have that information being the marketing, or was I meant to give you that information?
I'm not sure. I've had some market information. Right. Not from the company, no.
Right, okay. So basically time to market seems to be important. Therefore, speed of delivery. We've only got about another 4 hours left.
Okay, so is everyone happy with that?
Yes.
Okay.
That seems good.
Right, well, that's the end of my presentation.
Okay. Pull this up.
I think we just give it a second to...
Yeah, I think she's at 20 seconds to...
Okay. I'm sure we'll have by the end of today.
Give it another go. Yeah, there we go. Right, we've done some research into the functional requirements that people want out of their remote control. And first off, we should state that the remote control is for controlling a TV. And how do people use it? We asked them sort of which buttons were useful for them, how does a remote control look and feel for them, and what improvements would they like to remote control. And we did that by sort of giving them a questionnaire that we prepared and asking them to fill in the answers. And 3/4 of them found that remote controls are ugly, and that a sort of even higher proportion would spend more for a sort of a fancier remote control. And that of all the buttons on the remote control, the sort of setting buttons for sort of the picture and brightness and the audio settings, they weren't used very often at all. People concentrated on the channel buttons and the volume buttons and the power buttons. We also asked them about speech recognition for remote control, and young people were quite receptive to this, but as soon as we got sort of over about into a 35 to 45 age group and older, people weren't quite so keen on speech recognition. There was a lot more older people who didn't know whether they wanted it or not as well. We also asked what frustrated people about remote controls, and the number one frustration was that the remote was lost somewhere else in the room and that they couldn't find it. And the second biggest frustration was that if they got a new remote control, it was difficult to learn all the buttons and all the functions and to find your way around it. Okay. So personal preferences from the marketing is that we need to come up with some sort of sleek, sort of good looking, high tech, a design which looks high tech, basically. And that we should come up with fewer buttons than most of the controls on the market. And we should sort of concentrate on the channels and sort of power and also volume and that sort of thing, as Louisa said. We could maybe come up with a menu, a sort of an LCD menu for other functions on the remote control. That's worth thinking about. And maybe we could think about speech recognition as well, because so young people are perhaps the ones that are going to buy our new product if we aim it at sort of, you know, sort of a high tech design. That might be the market that we're looking for. And we could maybe think about using speech recognition as a way to find the remote control if it's lost in a room, rather than sort of having it to speech recognition to change the channels. Because there's a problem with that, in that the television makes noise, so it could end up talking to itself and changing its channel. Okay, and that's the end of the slideshow. That's it. Cool.
What was that last wee bit there?
About
speech recognition. Right,
yeah.
Okay, but that was only for young people that preferred it. Older people didn't.
Young people, they said that they'd be interested in remote control, which offered that possibility. And as you go up through the age groups, people got less and less interested in sort of a remote control that you can talk to. So.
And what it made me think is, it seems the technology would be quite advanced for that, and they might end up costing more than our $12.50 budget for.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
Speech
yeah.
recognition.
Yeah.
And possibly think about the remote being lost. We could have, you know, your mobile phone, you lose that, you can ring it. Maybe we can have some kind of sensor which is kept somewhere where you can, just kind of buzzer system between the two.
Yeah.
So you can press a button which is always kept in one place, and then it maybe it buzzes to somewhere else, wherever the remote actually is.
Yeah, we'd have that. That would mean we'd have to put two products together as well, which
that's true.
Which again would probably be a bit expensive. But
there's key rings that you kind of whistle at or clap at. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And then the whistle back or something like that.
Sounds
that
reasonable.
That would be really simple. They're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it'd be something we could like attach to the, or like the same technology could be put inside the.
Well, if you're trying to avoid having a second product, because obviously you could have a second product that gave you the right pitch, which would set the remote off to say, here I am, sort of thing, you know, without sound recognition. But if you, I was going to say a sharp noise, you know, a clapping of hand or whatever, you'd want to try and just have the one product that if...
Yeah, if we could have it in the actual remote, like everything in one.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. I don't know. You're talking about, obviously, if you've got voice recognition, then you can do it in that way, because it will recognise the voice, and you can give it a command, a set command, whatever that happened to be.
Yeah.
But you've then got the point, if you're not going with voice recognition, then.
So you could have an option to turn it off, or perhaps.
Yeah.
So that would solve the problems with the TV kind of speaking to the remote and changing its.
any conclusions?
Would it take quite a while to sort of develop this speech recognition software in the remote control?
Well, if it does, then we can't.
Yeah.
It's that simple, because we've got three primary requisites from. From an email that was sent to me, whereby we had the design logo was one, which we've already mentioned. We've got the remote was only for the television and not for, because that would make it too complex and we have to get it market quickly. And the third thing was that teletext, as far as the management is concerned, has become outdated due to the popularity of the internet. So. That means that, so these are the sort of three extra parameters that have been put on this project. Mm-hmm. So we're being focused effectively directly at a television, and it seems to me that the management is wanting us to go down a narrow path and not opening out. So anything that is to be added, such as voice recognition, etc.,
has to be
very simple and has to be very quick, because time to market is critical.
Mm-hmm. I suppose if we could get something in which was quite quick and simple, that would give us an advantage over other remotes.
It would. But probably quick and simple is primary rather than added extras. Added extras would be nice, but the primary consideration is to get the project finished within this short time window, mm-hmm. which effectively now is sort of 4 hours. So, and we've got to get to the end. I think first and foremost we've got to get to the end, then get to the end with some added extras if possible. Mm-hmm. Okay. My screen is just...
So...
Down a bunk of me. Right, okay. So I need to... Right, so I don't know how long we have left of our time, but we have to make the decisions on the remote control functions and how we're planning to proceed, so that at the next meeting each person that's got a task to do is clear from this meeting what that task is. Mm-hmm. We'll also know when the next meeting is, so we'll know how long we've got to complete that task, and then we can report back at the next meeting and say, right, okay, yes, we've achieved this, or we haven't achieved this. This is how far we've progressed. Does that make reasonable sense?
Yes.
So we have to come effectively to the decision on the remote functions, so that you can decide what you're going to be doing, and if. Between the time of this meeting finishing and the next meeting starting, if you get any additional information that only you have at that point in time, you think would be relevant to other people in terms of their decision-making process, then we should communicate that as quickly as possible and not wait until the next meeting. Do it via the email, so that rather than coming, you know... If you get the information just before the next meeting, that's fine. Come along with it at the next meeting. We can discuss it then and take whatever action's appropriate. But if you get it well before the next meeting, let everybody else know, because that might have an impact on their on what they come up with effectively at the next meeting. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Is there...
So do we need to decide on the functions now?
I would guess so.
Well, I think it'd be really easy, and it'd be a big advantage if we did have some sort of kind of whistle back mm-hmm. kind of function.
Yeah.
Because that'll solve kind of the frustration of losing it.
Yeah, and that was the number one sort of frustration that people said. So I don't think there's anything else on the market that does that. So.
Yeah. And I don't really know about the voice recognition thing.
Maybe we should concentrate just on the whistle back function.
Something simple. If our primary consideration is to get it there in time, time short, you want something to meet the major concerns of the consumer so that we can have it as a selling point for the product. Something that's quick and simple.
Yeah.
So.
And that wouldn't put off the kind of older generation either, because everyone can whistle or clap, and they wouldn't have to be kind of scared of this new technology. Well,
so maybe a clap rather than a whistle would be... on the basis that if we're catering to the whole age range, you want something that's easy to do. Now, something that I don't know. Well, if you think that more people can whistle than clap, then that's fine. Then go for that option. But if I would have thought that more people could clap rather than whistle, so clap option.
Okay, we've already decided that we don't need a teletext button, haven't we?
Effectively, that's what they're saying, that if people are now using the internet, then you don't need teletext. So
taking out teletext.
So take out teletext.
Do we decide on having the ten numbers and then the...
Yeah, I think so.
The little digit next to it, which kind of enables you to put them together.
Well, I think nowadays you can just get ones where it gives you a sort of a second or two to press another number.
Yeah.
So you can press any two, and it will sort of put them together.
Okay, 10 numbers and then some kind of device to allow a delay to allow multiple numbers or multiple digits.
Yeah.
Do we decide anything about the other functions, as in setting the audio and tuning it and stuff like that? You had an idea about the menu?
We could possibly put LCD menu in, but that again is probably an expense that.
But just thinking, people probably. I mean, you only have to probably tune the TV once, but you have to be able to tune it that once.
Yeah.
So, if the TV breaks again, you're going to have to be able to tune it. You can't really avoid that.
No.
Except with new digital markers, which do it by themselves.
Yeah.
So
but that's relying on the television market changing to an automatic, and if it is at the moment, that's fine. But at the moment, it's not. So it seems to me that you have to have a device that caters, because otherwise, it would make it your device would become inoperable or only operable in certain circumstances.
Yeah.
And the idea is to have an international market, which is,
yeah.
And it's also it's the product we've got is something that's at the I would have said the lower end of the cost scale. Yeah. So we're not really going for something that's.
I suppose
high tech.
If people are buying remotes, then they're probably buying it to replace another remote.
Possibly.
Most tellies come with remotes, so
that's right.
I mean, we're maybe talking about replacing remotes for slightly older televisions, so we maybe need to keep the tuning function in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how would this menu function work? Would you maybe have like one menu button, then you'd use the other buttons, maybe the number buttons, to actually do the separate functions?
Yeah, that would be
like
a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, because you do need kind of brightness and contrast and everything as well. My dad was watching a film the other week and it was too dark, so I had to go through it and turn the brightness up.
So you think we're going to have the individual numbers and then a menu function and maybe sort of a slightly more advanced instruction booklet to come with it to guide? But I think it'd be quite hard just for people to grasp just off like the menu, but that you then use different buttons. You maybe have to have like some better instructions of how that would actually work.
I'm not sure whether sort of having people have a booklet, because the second most annoying thing that people found was having to learn the new one.
Right, okay.
So maybe next to each of the buttons, you know, each of them could have a number and then also a function written next to it. So you're basically pressing.
But that also goes back to the original design where we saw those two, and there was the one on the left-hand side which had all like the double functions and stuff, which kind of looked too busy and had too much on it, so.
Okay.
If we're trying to keep it sleek and sexy as well, have you seen those remotes where kind of the bottom bit slides down, so there's kind of everything else revealed, so you don't use it that much, you don't have to see it all the time.
That's a very good idea.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a second.
So you keep we've got 5 minutes before we wind up this meeting, so I've been told. Okay. I don't know if you've got the same.
Not quite. But
okay. So keep.
Keep the other buttons, but. Them away.
Keep detailed functions hidden at the back.
And that would be better for the older generation as well, because, well, my dad doesn't like anything that you've got to kind of flick through a menu, but he can pretty much read a button.
Yeah.
So it's displayed properly.
So we're going to have to work out what's going to be on these other functions as well. So we're going to have like two separate.
That's right.
Two separate lists, I guess.
Yeah.
Your data functions hidden at back
so
can bring out when needed.
The detailed ones will be sort of brightness.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. So we're so you've got which ones are going to be on the front, which ones are going to be in the back.
So
we have to decide.
Should we decide next couple of minutes and then.
Yeah.
I guess so.
So on the.
So, on front.
We've got the number bands.
Numbers.
Volume.
If you have a mute button as well.
Sorry?
A mute button as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or
I think they're handy.
Mm-hmm. And probably a power one as well. Daniel.
I know it's probably like not an issue to raise here, but the whole thing about not using your standby because of the like waste of electricity, and have you seen the adverts? Like, if you boil the kettle, that's full, it's a waste.
Yeah.
Leave your telly on standby, it powers Blackpool for a certain amount of time. Yeah, we should maybe we try to discourage people from standby.
But then they might not buy it if they haven't got one.
Yeah.
Maybe too much of a big issue.
So are you having the standby on the front then?
I think we probably should.
Yeah, but a little bit smaller. Compromise.
Well, I suppose.
Are we going to have the channel up and down as well as the number buttons?
Because, yeah, the market research said there was quite a lot of people do just zap around and flick.
So we've got 10, 11, 12, 16 there.
Channel up and down. What else we got? What was that, 16?
Numbers is 10. Volume is 12.
Volume button?
Yeah,
how many volumes?
One up, one down.
Okay.
On mute.
And a mute, yeah. That's 16, isn't it? Yeah.
So anything else?
I don't think so, no.
Power button, standby, channel up and down. So is that it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And that's 16 buttons, you reckon. And then at the back?
You've got brightness and contrast.
Maybe if we're going to run out of time, one of us should come up with a list of these and then get back at the next meeting, just at the start, and say what it's going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on the back, I'll have brightness, contrast. Anything else? You're also going to have the channel tuner in there, as it were.
So tuner up and down, I guess.
Yeah.
Tuner, would that have up and down?
I think tune one way, tune
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then maybe sort of an enter button for sort of, you know, saying that you want that particular thing tuned in. So you go up and down and then it finds something and then you want to press enter.
Okay.
Just select it, yeah.
I guess we're keeping it simple. We don't really need any other audio functions because it's just volume up, volume down.
Oh, volume, yeah, I would have thought so.
Yeah.
So I think there's quite a lot of like Dolby Surround, Sudo Surround sort of things.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe for the younger market.
Do they have their own controls on their actual products there? Or do you have to do it via the remote?
I think they've got their own controls in this kind of like hidden panel.
Yeah. As soon as we got if they've got their own controls, then we can avoid it for ours to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, like there's kind of individual buttons for them.
Oh, okay.
Like on the TV remote.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I don't really know what they're for. I've never used them. I just know there's something to do with
maybe unless something
Dolby
comes up, then we should...
Well, you might get some research on that.
Well, should we look into that and then just get back together?
Okay. Right, so I'll do the minutes of this meeting, and we'll meet back, I'm not sure, 40 minutes, I believe, is the time.
Okay.
Okay.
Come on.